Welcome back, Quality Timers. It's me, Eric. Great jam-packed show, this one we got here. So get yourself nice and comfy. Or, hey, start working out whenever you listen to us. There is a Spider-Man Far From Home, a spoiler-free review of that up at the top of the episode. A lot of Wang Chung references in this one. A lot of Wang Chung. So get ready for that. I also have some fun, embarrassing stories about me doing comedy and my friend Eddie Lyles, who likes to embarrass me in public. But if I could ask you guys, please, drop us a 5-star rating on the iTunes, the Stitcher. It really helps us out. It costs you nothing. It means the world to us. And now a brief disclaimer. Listen, this episode is a rough one. If you are sensitive, this is maybe the one that you want to tune out. We're not really a true crime podcast, but there are criminal things that are mentioned in this. It's a tough lesson at times. We try to make the best of it and make light of a horrible situation. But I can tell you, if you're sensitive to things happening to children, this is not the episode to tune into. So, without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for the most disgusting episode of Different Strokes you've ever heard. The Bicycle Man.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
There's the robots. When they finally have fucking robots that could do it and it doesn't cost human life,
right.
That's when I'm shitting my pants, okay? I'm legit shitting my pants when the robots exist. Then I could maybe go down your path of, like, I'm worried now. I'm legit. But then it's more of like, oh, shit, all humanity needs to stop the robots because they don't give a shit about whether you're gay, straight, or fucking, you know, whatever. They just care that you're breathing. They don't. So I'm more... Honestly, I think the likelihood of that happening is more in the vein of reality than kind of what you're saying, at least in America. I think it could happen other places. I don't think it could happen here. But, hey, welcome back to another enthralling episode of Quality Time Podcast. Yeah!
So you speak of the future of NAMBLA.
Yes, yes. Oh, listen, we picked an episode today.
No controversy whatsoever. Just another fun thing. Fun.
And I've gotten Jeremy...
And I talk about our love of homosexuality.
I've gotten Jeremy worked up into a tizzy before this, but welcome back. My name is Eric.
You barely got me started, baby. I barely even shouted.
My name is Eric Woodworth, and thank you once again for joining us. And I'm joined by none other than my blood and my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth.
Who are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's joining us on the show this evening?
Well, you haven't seen me for a while. I used to be on Different Strokes. My name's Danny Plato. But don't you dare call me Dana, because I am Danny now.
I'm Danny.
Danny Plato. I might have robbed a liquor store once because I needed the money.
Who's Danny Plato?
Plato.
Who the fuck is that?
I was on the show. I was on there all seasons, and I was into drugs a little bit, but I'm back. Danny Plato.
Oh, you've changed from Dana Plato. You're now Danny Plato.
I don't know who you're talking about. I'm Danny Plato.
The name's Man. Okay.
I like to go into GameStop and get some games every once in a while.
Okay, so you're Kimberly Drummond from Different Strokes. You were at one time, Danny.
Who you're talking about. I'm Danny Plato. I just all of a sudden appeared one day.
You were a strong actress at one time, no?
I was never an actress. I am Danny Plato.
All right, I accept.
Just accept me for who I am.
I accept you.
Don't judge me.
You and your fucking sweet boy pussy. I love it, man. You know that. You always know that. Jeremy, welcome back.
I look more masculine than Janet Reno now.
Jeremy, I went yesterday to, before we hop into tonight's topic, because it's a new one. We haven't really, it's our first TV show that we're going to do tonight.
We have crossed over.
We're crossing over. But Jeremy, yesterday I went to go see Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah.
And it was solid B yeah. movie.
Did you cry over Tony Stark's death?
In Endgame, yes, I cried over it. I didn't cry over it. Although it does, I will say, I'll give you a spoiler-free analysis of it.
Okay?
Spoiler-free. The Mysterio in the movie, he is,
Gyllenhaal?
Is Jake Gyllenhaal. But he is an 8.5 out of 10 supervillain for the MCU. Very, very good in the movie. Really liked it. And Mysterio in the comic books has always been one of those Spider-Man characters that I never really ever saw as a legitimate threat to Spider-Man. I was always like, oh, it's Mysterio. We're not. You mean the guy who can make
He's
illusions?
He's no Sandman.
Yeah. The guy who can make you see funny stuff? Yeah, I'm really worried about Mysterio, right? But no, they made him a legit threat in the movie, and I thought it was really good, and they tied him into the MCU universe very well. Here's the bad parts about the movie, okay?
Anyway.
No, this is kind of spoiler-free, right? I mean, we know that the story of Spider-Man, he's always trying to get with Mary Jane, you know, that's
You're just going to say that Spider-Man loses and he dies.
Yes. Good as dead. But no, here's the two bad things I think that don't make this a knock out of the park, okay? Now, Mary Jane Watson, right? She's always been historically a bombshell, very beautiful woman.
Spider-Man loves Mary Jane, doesn't he?
Loves Mary Jane. Mary Jane and Peter Parker are, you know, is his love interest in every Spider-Man movie most part.
Doesn't Mary Jane wanna party all the time?
Party all the time, party
Mary
all the
Jane
time.
Mary Jane wanna?
Mary, okay.
All the
it
time.
Was a bit of a stretch, but I liked it. Okay.
You know your Rick James songs?
Yeah, I'm party all the time. You mean Eddie Murphy songs? Yes, I'm familiar.
There is a Mary Jane song by Rick James.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, fair enough. Maybe I'm not familiar
Mary
with that one.
Mary Jane Wanna Party.
Mary Jane
time.
Wanna.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of sounds like something else if you say it quick enough. You
Mary
know, like
Juana,
that,
yeah.
Like that Britney Spears, you know, if you seek Amy, you know.
I see you.
Say it sounds like something
you
else.
You me.
That's like genius.
So the thing is, if you're familiar with the last Spider-Man movie, they've introduced Mary Jane as kind of like a nerd girl who like clearly would be like the type of girl that owns every figurine for the Nightmare Before Christmas, right? Like,
oh, this is the black girl now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, the black Mary Jane. And we're supposed to believe, okay? We're supposed to believe that this girl is unattainable for Peter Parker, okay? There's supposed to be this thing, like, the thing about Mary Jane is always like, well, she's the hottest girl in school, and there's no way nerd Parker. I was like, oh, you mean Peter Parker, the guy with the Adonis body and who's a fucking genius, has no chance with this girl right here.
Right.
Doesn't have a shot in the world of getting a date with Mary Jane, the chick who watches murder documentaries and is literally the weirdest girl in school, right?
Yes.
He has no shot with her. Okay, all right. I don't like that they make you believe that she's unattainable. So that's one problem with the movie. And the other one is like they do some humor in the movie, and generally MCU movies are pretty they mix in their jokes real good. Got to tell you, the jokes in this one weren't great. They weren't on point, I didn't think.
So they weren't up to the Zack Snyder quality.
They were not Zack Snyder-esque jokes. No, they weren't Tim Gunn, Guardians of the Galaxy jokes.
Why did I say Zack Snyder? That's not the right
Zack
guy,
Snyder does like the movie 300, you know, that hilarious movie 300 that's so funny.
Well, when he keeps kicking him into that well, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, that is pretty sick. Yeah. That is pretty sick.
Why do you have to keep kicking everybody into this giant pit?
So, I went to the movie with a bunch of comedians yesterday. Shout outs Towson Cinemark. And
was Tommy there?
Tommy was there, and my friend Eddie Lyles, who is a 6'4", humongous black comedian. And every attendant that worked there that was a person of color, Eddie took it upon himself to inform them that I recently did a show at the Coon Club to every black person that we walked by, okay? And I really loved it. I was like, thanks again, Eddie, for that one.
Oh, gosh.
So I had to explain the Raccoon Hunters Association of America to multiple people of color that worked at the movie theater. And, and let me just tell you, they weren't thrilled about it.
let me just say that, you know, doing the Coon Club, it's still better than going to... Kim's Crypt Camp out in the forest.
Kim's Crypt Camp Out.
With the signs that just have her initials pointing you to the...
I see what you're saying. Triple K.
Yeah.
You know, the Coon Club was... Honestly, I did that show. I think I had talked about it. They offered me an amount of money that I was like, I'll definitely do the show for this much money.
Right.
And when I got there... I have standards and quality, Jeremy.
Yes.
I went there, I was like, listen, if there's burning crosses and stars and bars, like, I can't, I'm not going to do it, right? Like, I have a cutoff.
Effigies of hanging in the bar.
Like, dude, I can't
do
it, right?
That's just wrong.
But I walked up there, and I was like, okay, no, it's legit. Like, okay, it's a shooting range. They're the Raccoon Hunters Association. They call it the Coon Club. All right, I'm going to go for it, right?
Right.
So I show up to show night that night, and I was relieved to see... I made a bet with Ryan Nazer and Mike Quinlan, the guys that did the show with, and I said, how many black people will be there? And they were both like, none. And I was just like, I bet you $5 there will be one black guy there. I guarantee.
Okay,
I guarantee you there will be one black guy there.
Yes.
And sure enough, as soon as I walked in, I found the black guy right away.
Yes.
Guess what his job was at the Coon Club?
Cleaning up.
Nope.
He owns the place.
Nope.
The DJ.
He was the DJ.
Yes.
It was DJ, and he was a black guy named DJ Blake.
DJ
which
Blake.
Which I think is the funniest name. And the first thing Mike Quinlan did when he got up there, he was just like, I was like, oh, give it up for DJ Blake. And then he leaned into the microphone and goes, you guys know his name's Tyrone. He just put that on the application, right? Like, you think you would have hired Tyrone to work at the Coon Club? Which was, it was a good ass joke. So hats off to Mike Quinlan for the joke.
If I would make a suggestion, I think he should call himself Blake 7.
Mm.
So,
Balake?
No, just Blake 7. I think it was like a sci-fi show or something. Maybe it was British.
Okay.
Kind of like Firefly or something.
Now, Jeremy, did you listen to the Rob and Joe show this week, by the chance?
No. Did they mention me?
No, but I got mentioned.
Oh, were you on it?
Well, they told a story that I got...
How long were they gone between the wedding?
They've had 2 episodes since they've come back,
okay.
Jeremy. You just haven't been listening. You're not a true fan, which is fine.
I really wanted his feedback from the... from that song that I did about love and American style.
You know what? I do have a couple of Joe Robinson corrections that I don't have the song queued up for. Damn it.
Hey, Joe
Robinson. Do you have any corrections for us this week on Quality Time?
Okay, Joe Robinson's corrections, folks. Here we go. This is actually a correction for Laugh Finder, the other podcast I'm on. But Joe Robinson felt compelled to send this in. He goes, Eric, you make a Lou Aldang reference on Laugh Finder. No one laughs. No one knows who that is.
And Lou Aldang.
Lou Aldang. That's a basketball player from like the late 90s and 2000s. This is Joe Robinson, and I remember this. This is from the Terminator episode. It's in the opening minutes where we were referencing a song, and I said, is that by Kansas? And then you went, Boston? No, yeah, Chicago. It's none of those. It's clearly Journey. And I remember even after we had finished I was like, I wonder who actually does do that song. I was like, oh, it's Journey. Joe's going to lose his mind. And he said, but Joe... Joe corrected us. He goes, of course it's Wang Chung. So
everybody Wang Chung tonight.
So that's my only Joe Robinson correction.
Can I tell you I met Wang Chung in person?
No, you didn't tell
me
that.
And I think it was 1984, maybe 85. He was walking through Columbia Mall, and my girlfriend spotted him. That boy walked the whitest way of any white person I've ever seen walk. Literally straight as an arrow, and he went into the toy store that was in the Columbia Mall back then.
Okay, KB Toys, shout out.
No, it was the Potomac toy store because we didn't have KB, and my girlfriend at the time got a signature from him. So that
the
was,
guy from Wang Chung, yeah, look
the,
at
the,
that,
the blonde guy.
Hey, what are your four favorite Wang Chung songs?
Can I name four Wang Chung songs? I think I can. Okay, let me be
Everybody
very
Wang Chung tonight is my favorite.
That's their big.
You hit. Have to name the other three.
That's only one that I can name. But that's definitely the lowest on my list. Dance Hall Days. I really love that. I might have actually bought a 45 of it. I hate to say that. Oh shoot! I think I'm getting him mixed up with The Fix. The second favorite song is "To Live and Die in L.A.," which I thought was a pretty good song.
I love it. They stole that from Tupac, though.
One of the few Michael Mann movies that I actually stomach. Wang Chung tonight, is that their only third hit they actually had? Fourth Wang Chung song. I got it. The disco version of Wang Chung tonight that they redid. I'm kidding. I can't name a fourth Wang Chung song.
All right, look, here's the album for the 20th Century Masters, the best of Wang Chung.
Yes,
are you ready?
A fourth hit?
Let's see what the lineup here is, Jeremy. All right, everybody have fun tonight, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Dance Hall Days, you named
Dance
that
Hall
one.
Days.
Track 3, Don't Let Go. Don't
Never
let
heard
go.
Of that.
Number 4, Don't Be My Enemy.
All right, best of.
Number 5,
yes.
Wait.
No.
6, Live and Die in L.A.
Yes.
From the movie.
That
Live
was a
and
pretty
Die
good
in
song.
L.A. Hypnotize Me from the movie Inner Space.
Wow, two movie soundtracks. Good job, Wang Chung.
8 is Let's Go.
No.
9 is Praying to a New God.
No.
And, number 10 is What's So Bad About Feeling Good.
Okay, and the final?
And the number 11 track on the best of Wang Chung, Space Junk. Wang Chung, 1997.
This is probably my favorite gay song. Yes. Like, space junk.
Space junk.
I really want your space junk. So, anyway, all right.
So that's the best of Wang Chung right there.
So
Jared.
Yeah, only 3 hits that I've actually remember. I know my Wang Chung. So
you know your Wang Chung. I mean, you probably know it. I don't know how many other people could name a top 4 of Wang Chung.
Yeah, that takes a person who actually bought one of their albums. So.
Oh yeah, and Hooked on a Feeling, my other favorite Wang Chung song.
No, I can actually say no. I didn't buy Dance Hall Days of 45, but I did buy Saved by Zero by The Fix.
So
that's one of the few 45s I've ever owned in my life. So.
My 45 is Glock.
Did you ever buy a record?
I've never purchased a record in my life.
And you never
ever.
Bought a 45 either.
Different
generation.
Different gen. Cut from a different cloth, Jeremy. What can
you
I
know
say?
You know my first album I ever bought?
Every Wang Chung?
It was not Wang Chung. I think it was The Doors. The fucking Doors. Gosh, I'm not that old. It was the Cars Shake It Up.
Ah, shake it up.
Hey Jeremy, you wanna know what my first album was?
Hey Jeremy, one time. Hey, you ever heard of that band Steely Dan before?
Actually, Jeffrey is not cool enough to listen to Steely Dan. Because, number one.
We're talking about our Uncle Jeffrey, our crazy Uncle Jeffrey.
Number one, he is
an extreme schizophrenic.
He loves Jackson Browne. And also in his room that he lived in way too long to make him a crazy fuck that he should have fucking moved out when he was in his 20s, it was a big Linda Ronstadt poster on his wall.
Mm.
Yeah, so he probably jacked off to that like 1,000,000,000 times.
Hey, Jeremy, do you remember that Linda Ronstadt poster I used to have back in the day?
And I was like, yeah, Jeffrey, we remember it. And I was like,
I didn't want to tell you this, but I've been talking a lot about with God lately, and I pleasured myself to that poster of Linda Ronstadt a lot.
Oh, gosh.
Her mile high hair. It was really good. Hey, Jeremy, do you think if you ever go yard sale and if you find that Linda Ronstadt poster, that you could buy it for me? Do you ever run across Linda Ronstadt posters, Jeremy?
I'm surprised he didn't have probably a really cool record collection back in the day until he became like almost a street bum.
Yeah.
So and lost everything from how many moves that he had to keep moving because he always got in a fight with somebody and had to keep moving. So.
Hey, Jeremy, what are the chances? Obviously, we're going to get into some filming of Baby Eater because the people need to know.
Yes, let's talk about something
important. Well, really, but before that, what are the chances of Uncle Jeffrey making a cameo in Baby Eater?
Zero. Because anytime I have to be around my uncle is a time that I don't want to be around my uncle. So.
All right, Jeff, all I need you to say is, the bathroom's right over there. That's it.
Hey, Jeremy, do you remember when you wrote that note to me for my 47th birthday on that card that said, I choose you? That was I just want to say I really appreciated that. That's it.
You know who I'd rather have in Baby Eater?
Who's that?
Michael Moore.
Michael Moore?
One of the most hated people I can think of in Hollywood. I'd rather have him in my movie.
You'd rather
than
have
Uncle
Michael
Jeff.
Moore. Okay,
yes.
Fair enough.
Is it because I hate my uncle more? No, he just annoys me more than somebody that I really hate.
He does. Yeah, I'm sorry. Before we get too hot into Baby Eater, I needed to tell this story about
the worst taste in horror.
Because we were talking about Rob and Joe show, and he shitted on me for not mentioning the story from the Brightbox Theater. At the Brightbox Theater, Jeremy, we had a show there. Shout outs, Winchester, VA. And there's a karaoke portion where we have people from the audience sing karaoke. And this lady gets up. She is a super fan of the show. I've seen her at a bunch of them. She can't sing a lick. And she's up there.
Yeah.
She is up there.
Denise Crosby bad.
She's up there singing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, gosh.
So, which is like 7 minutes long. So,
why don't you just take on one of the hardest songs to sing and you have no talent whatsoever?
I wouldn't say there was no talent because, listen, she did. I wanted you to say the performance that she put out, loved, right? So we get...
How good of a train wreck was it?
So it gets to that part where, you know, that's the breakdown. It's like bump, 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 bump. So we joined.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
We joined her up on stage. It was me, Schlegs, Tommy, and the rest of the cast. And we were her backup singers. And we're like, Scaraboos, Scaraboos, will you do the fandango? Anyway. Jeremy, it gets to the part, so he's like, so you think you could stone me and spit in my eye? I had a vodka soda in my hand, Jeremy. I take a big old swig of it, and I spit it directly, like a mist of... for the spit part.
Oh, my gosh.
I meant to spit it directly upwards and, like, on me, but it definitely went out and covered a table of women in the front row. Just showered. And ladies that fucking were loving the show up until that happened. And I watched it as all, you know, as gravity does what it does. And... and just sprinkled this whole row of ladies from. And this,
I'm guessing either they're all in their 40s.
We're talking 40s to 60s. Okay.
Okay. So and older women.
So this lady whose hair had a fucking straight. It came straight out of the curlers to get here. It looked pristine, silvery, and beautiful.
Oh, gosh.
She was fucking pissed, okay? Would not make... I didn't make eye contact with her for the rest of the night, okay?
Yes.
So the performance ends, and Joe Robinson goes over to go talk to those ladies, okay?
Yes.
And just... He was like... And the lady who got, like, the brunt of it, she wasn't there. She was, like, in the bathroom or something, cleaning herself up.
Right.
And, Joe asked him, and I was just like, hey, I just want to really apologize. Is your friend here? We wanted to say sorry for doing it. I was like, oh, yeah, she's kind of mad. And I was like, well, you know, can you let her know that we're really sorry about what happened and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, and her friends all looked at her and go, oh, fuck that bitch. So they loved my charm was still so strong. You understand that it didn't matter.
She was just being a bitch.
So that's how charming that I can spit on a group of elderly women. And
it's
still
like
get
going
over.
To a Gallagher show and expect not to get watermelon all over you or something. You know?
Exactly. I'm like a Gallagher too.
Like I liked the Guar show until he spewed in my face.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was like, you sit close to the stage, you got to be ready for the repercussions, lady.
You know, if you brought maybe your plastic tarp with you, then maybe you'd be prepared.
Hey, you guys ready to spit some vodka?
By the way, my wife has air refreshers all over the house because otherwise it would smell like a stink pit because of my ugly ass.
Uh-huh.
And if I just get it right, it sprays over the toilet. And if I stand up at just the right point, I can get it right in my face as it automatically goes. Like, oh, God! And now I smell fine. So
I'm clean now. I'm clean.
I just hate it.
So, Jeremy, Baby Eater filming night two, our second take. You had your buddy Edward Young X in town.
He has not only started the film, we have ended the film. With the final scene.
So you've done the beginning of the film and the ending of the film.
And the ending, and we have all of our little additions between it, which I could make it more of a short now, as opposed to just driving the joke home 1,000 times, which I probably will still do, and make a lot of deleted scenes. But yeah, I made the mistake of... having you over and promising you that I could do it really quick, which I could have.
Jeremy, I wanted you to know the second you said that I could be there. So you called me up Friday and informed me that I need you tonight. And then I was like, tonight is not a good night. And
right.
Then you begged. And I was like, all right, I'll fucking do it. Let's get in here.
Yeah.
So I got out of work early. I got my workout in. I edited all the clips for tonight's audio that we needed that day.
Oh,
and then I went over.
See.
And then I went over to your house from 8 o'clock. 8:30 I got there.
11 something.
And then to 11. And yeah.
See, for 3 hours, that's pretty good, though.
I mean, it wasn't an hour. Although, you could have gotten me out of there in a half hour if you just shot the scenes that you and I needed to do.
Yeah.
But... Listen, I will say this. I enjoyed Mr. X. I enjoyed Edward's actually, you know what? He's not a bad actor. He's pretty fucking good, actually.
He's won Best Actor just this year.
And we sat in your basement that was un-air conditioned. You sweated like a hog. And
good gosh.
Edward had, he really liked your script. Can I say that? And there was definitely some giggling that was happening on there. He played it great.
I think he's a better writer than me, so I gave him... full carte blanche, whatever he wanted to change. He didn't want to make any changes, but I like the fact that you got to hear the script and you got a couple of giggles out of it as well, which has way too many rape jokes as any script that I would write. So
there is a lot of rape in there. But Edward fucking nailed his scenes, and I think it was really cool. I enjoyed working with it. But Jeremy, just to talk about how you fly by the seat of your pants filming this thing, okay? You probably decided to film it that night. You informed us, got us all together. We had camera problems that they weren't working.
That's another
problem. There were bad things like that happened.
I didn't have enough prep.
But we worked through it. We were able to fix the camera issues. We got it all filmed, and I thought, you know, hey, there's some more shots that I think we got to do. I think we got to redo that bathroom take, but other than that, it's going
to
be
We could have gone out to a bar and gotten a better bathroom take, but you really don't even see anything into the bathroom. As long as you see somebody coming out of a door, you're coming out of a bathroom. If I really had prepped, I would have had men's room on the side, on the outside of the door. But hey, you know, we got our jokes in, and you realized that your part wasn't big enough, so that you wanted to add some more jokes to it, and you actually took on the role of director too, which was like putting you as the second Coen brother film, which I was quite pleased with. Because, you know, I have my limits of how much work I can do, and you know that I'm old and I get tired easily. So I'm glad with you taking over the direction, because you have as much comedy talent as me.
Well, I'm more of a time and efficiency guy. So I like to Jeremy, if you sit down and you talk to me about what you're trying to get out and really lay that out to me, maybe give me some storyboards about how you want to do
it.
Talking, this is what you sketch out for 30 minutes so that you save 2 hours. Like, we could have done everything in an hour if we planned it out a little bit better. That's
it. I had my camera technical things, and I didn't have enough preparation, although I did prep the entire set. And, well, you actually helped a little bit more with the set preparation as well. At the same time, you know, how much of the background is really going to be seen? I hoped it was mostly focused out anyway.
It's more of a you know, when we're making the low budget film, which is what we're doing right now, I think it's all about efficiency of people.
Did you say low budget? No budget.
Well, that's Jeremy. That's technically not true. If I'm being honest with you, I've already sunk about $40 into this.
I think
you've
sunk
project.
Almost 100.
So I wouldn't. Let's not get carried away with a budget. There is a budget that is happening.
I'll be shining some knobs soon.
So I just think, you know, if you would explain to me, and instead of writing each page of script the day we shoot, I think we could have some more effective shots. What I'm getting at.
I already gave Edward his script days before,
didn't show your co-director this.
No.
I just want you to understand this is what I'm dealing with.
Well, you didn't have any lines until the night of the script.
Well, it doesn't matter. If you want me to help out, it would be nice to know what we're doing. Because I like these little things I could think of. I'm an efficiency guy. I look at it and I'm like, no, we need to do this thing first, this thing second, and that, and then this will go fast.
I literally gave you your lines
Time is the finite thing we have on this world.
All I gave you was your lines literally before you did the scenes.
Yes. Yeah, which I'm okay with, but if I had known where the scene was going, I could have helped set it up and things like that.
Could have done better.
Listen, we can do better, Jeremy. I believe in you.
But you on the spot made up your own jokes just to add to it because I didn't give you enough. So.
Well, I mean, I needed something to do, so I figured I knew you would be. Yeah, we did the spitting out the nuts thing.
Yes.
That was pretty fun, right? That was good. Anyway, Jeremy, should we get into tonight's topic, though?
Sorry.
And tonight we are going over something we've never really tackled before, Jeremy. We're going over television. We're going over a TV show, specifically this show right here. Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you? Yeah, that's right. We are going over the 80s show, Different Strokes. But specifically, though, we're going over a two-part episode known as The Bicycle Man, which is, for those of you who aren't familiar with what The Bicycle Man is, it is a two-part special episode about a child molester who basically tries to fuck Arnold.
Can you cue the laughter during
when I talk about this episode, it challenges all levels of appropriateness of what we could possibly deem appropriate in society. There's going to be a lot of cringe moments in this episode, and honestly, they're not going to be on our part. It's just going to be the audio that you're going to hear from this episode that will make your stomach fucking turn over and over again.
Hello. I'm Robert Conrad. I have the
special introduction if we want to listen to it.
If you want to start with that, okay, then I can make fun of it. So.
Well, it comes in and it starts out with the main dad, the guy who plays the dad in Different Strokes, with a special announcement.
Hello, I'm Conrad Bain. Tonight on Different Strokes, we're starting a special 2-part show on a very sensitive and important subject. Now, we urge families, children, and parents alike to watch both of these informative episodes and then to discuss the problem presented, which is of deep concern to all of us.
Whoa. And this
did I call him Conrad Brooks?
Yeah, you know. This is obviously, Jeremy, this is Conrad Bain, who is Michael Bean's dad.
You're not serious.
I'm not serious. I don't really know if that's true or not.
Michael Bain's dad. That's fucking hilarious. I was even worse because you know who Conrad Brooks is?
Is that guy from, what's it called? The Carol Burnett Show. Is that where
No. He just died. He's a Baltimore actor who was one of the cops in Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Oh, who wouldn't know that?
And the funny thing is, the last time I met him, he gave me a DVD from one of his horrible movies, which all of them are pretty much horrible. And I gave him a Pogo t-shirt, and my buddy's like, "You gave him a t-shirt?" He's like, "He's going to sell it at another convention. He's not going to wear it."
Yeah. Well, it's important to mention that this was a big deal about 80s sitcoms and family shows. They would always have the special episode, right? Where it's like they're going to tackle a hard issue. Like, is it drugs this episode? Are we going to talk about the AIDS epidemic? It's always something that's generally a touchy subject to bring up with the family.
Can you pause this for a second? Hey, you know, I think the Conrad Brain was good, but this was the true version that he opened the show. I'm Conrad Bain. Tonight, welcome to our horrid episode of Different Strokes. You might want to have your parents around when you watch this, because it's the most horrible, horrible Different Strokes. Now, after this episode, you might want to talk to your children so that after all their crying, that they might actually stop crying, because they are going to have the nightmares of their life after seeing this episode. Bicycle Man will leave your kids scarred for life. But it takes Different Strokes to move the world. I'm Conrad Bain. We hate every one of you.
Okay, you got it. Good bit.
Yes.
So, the episode opens up with none other than Gary Coleman and the rest of the family walking into their local bicycle shop, where we get to meet the Bicycle Man, Mr. Horton.
Arnold, the man's name is Mr. Horton.
Right. Hey, Mr. Bicycle Man.
Great entrance, Mr. Horton.
Hey, were you in the circus?
As a matter of fact, I was. They used to bill me as the human cannonball. Until the ball got too big for the cannon.
What a charming pedophile we just met there.
Oh, no, I wasn't one of the clowns, because they'd be scary and they molest you. I was called Pogo the Clown in the circus.
They immediately, you get to meet this charming bicycle shop owner. Arnold then expresses how much he would love to have a bike of his own, and Mr. Horton points out that this particular red bike is 1/3 off, and Arnold begs and pleads with his dad until, you know, he finally gives in, and we get our first real cringy moment of the show with this line right here.
I'd really be careful on it. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm going to be 12 next month. In just 13 years, I can run for Congress.
And it's 1/3 off.
I definitely think you should have a bicycle before you leave for Washington. Okay, Arnold, you can have it for your birthday.
Oh, thank you, Dad. Oh, thanks, Mr. Horton.
I got a terrific idea, Arnold. You know, I got to get the word out on this special sale I'm having. And I thought if you could pass these flyers out for me next week at school, I'd give you this handlebar radio for your bicycle.
Give? As in hand over, no strings? Come to the house?
You got it. That is, if it's all right with your dad.
Oh, it's fine with me. I think you're very generous, Mr. Horton.
Oh, he's doing me a favor, too, you know. What's the old saying? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
You keep coming up with these presents, you can scratch me all over.
Oh, God.
You know,
right.
You know the old all saying, right. You know, God. When I'm done with you, you give me a reach around.
Oh, God. All right. So our first child touching innuendo has already started. Oh, we're not even a minute into the episode.
He's doing so much for me because I'll be molesting him.
God, it's so fucking cringy. All right. So our first cringe moment is ended. Next, we see Arnold handing out flyers for Mr. Horton. He co-ops his buddy Dudley into helping him out. Dudley helps him get rid of all the rest of the flyers, but he says to Arnold he wants in.
Ask Mr. Horton if I can pass out flyers. I'd like a free radio for my bike, too. You wouldn't want to cut it on my deal, would you? Absolutely.
So now Dudley poor is Dudley. Part of it.
And I hate to say Dudley is the more beautiful-looking child, you know.
Yeah, of the two. I mean, Dudley's the fuckable one. Yeah. You know, you don't want weird Gary Coleman's ass.
Yeah, with his weird midgets. He's already like 20 years old in this episode.
His little Vienna sausage fingers.
Did I even see Todd Bridges in this episode at all?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Todd Bridges, Jeremy, because Todd Bridges... he played Willis in this episode. Well, he played Willis in the show Different Strokes. But oddly enough, I have a clip that I can share with you guys. Todd Bridges, who's had a career of being a train wreck of a person, drug addict. At one time, he was caught in a crack den just smoking crack. but there was maybe some reasons why... apparently Todd Bridges was being sexually abused while working on Different Strokes by the publicist, and I have a little audio clip which just makes this episode so much more fucking worse.
Me too.
Is this clip of Todd Bridges talking about his abuse.
You mentioned the show, so you're making Different Strokes, and they decided to do a show. You may remember this is a famous, famous show that actually dealt with sexual abuse.
The Bicycle Man show.
The Bicycle Man.
Yes.
The Bicycle Man was a pedophile.
Yeah.
So they're doing a show when you're on it, they don't know this is happening to you.
Well, the cast didn't know.
Oh, jeez.
That's the other thing, too, see, is that when these things, the reason why the police weren't informed, we were told by some very powerful people that if I did that, it can jeopardize my job. So it was up to my mom, left it up to me to decide, even though I was young, and still, it was my decision, ultimately. And she told me, you know, it's interesting, too, she got me, saw me help then, but then when I got 18, she was telling me, you need to go see somebody. And then I thought, I'm fine. It's not, none of this was bothering me. Because I told you, I had a triple threat, an abusive father, I had police harassment, and I had child molestation.
Triple threat.
Yeah, no kid should have guns, but he's at 12 years old, taking their bike, totally stolen. That shouldn't happen. Yeah. You know, that was happening to me the whole time in the rally. The whole time. Who are you going to call? Nobody. You got nobody to call. The people who says protect and serve, even when we called them on the person who offended me, they were like, well, he already came in. He wouldn't talk to them on it before we even got there. My mom went a year later, she goes, I can't do this anymore. She went a year later, and he already talked to them. And they said, well, it's your word against his. And I was like, my mom was like, what? This whole business and whole pedophiles and all this, I think it's just not only in our business, it's everywhere. And children are being groomed at church, at schools, and, you know, the priests are doing it, you know, teachers are doing it. You know, it's happening all over our country. And the thing about it is, I don't think we're doing enough to really stop it. Everyone's involved in this. You know what I mean? It's bigger than what you really think it is. You think it's just you're a little small section. No, it's bigger. When I got older, like 18, I did notice children being groomed. I noticed that. Oh, this is my manager. He bought me this, you know. I'm 16, but see this car he bought me? And I'm like, why is the manager buying my car? I went, oh, here we go. I knew what it was about, man, you know. So I knew a lot more than people realized. But like I said, I was able to, at that time, at least maintain a certain composure and look like Because when they did that, the bicycle man on my show, I told them to write me out of that show. I said, I don't want to do that much in the show. So I don't want to deal with.
Oh, you don't want to be. You don't want to be in the episode that really reflects what's happening to you in real life. I mean, it's fucking horrible, man.
Gosh.
I mean, that's a tough listen. Gosh. So just imagine being Todd Bridges. Who was like, oh, you're gonna do a fucking molester show about this? And the hardest part is when you're listening to this, knowing that Todd Bridges was being sexually abused while this show is being filmed.
So the question is he's already on drugs, so he can't. He knows that if he calls out the publicist is going to call him out on drugs and start a war and all sorts of bullshit. Oh, my gosh.
It's such a fucking horrible thing. And the worst part is that, and this is the important thing, what makes this episode so fucking cringy, is just listening to how they're trying to almost frame it. It was like, well, he's just another kind of person. And he can't. This is the thing that we got to deal with, you know? We don't know how to deal with these kind of people, you know? It's a tough listen, man.
It's not even a show that has, like, eerie or creepy music to it to even tell you, like, this is getting worse. Here it comes.
No, they just present it to you and it's fucking there and deal with it.
Keeping a laugh track during, like, ha ha ha, ha scratch my back, scratch your back.
I love that they just paint him as this funny guy.
you need to play the audience as, here it comes, you know, the signs are starting to be laid forth.
I will say, though, that, you know, I didn't know what, like, terms like what child grooming is, which is how you basically get a child into that part where they'll keep the secret of it. And honestly, as fucking cringy as this does show that fucking aspect of it. And it's fucking why I don't let my children out of my sight ever, pretty much. I mean, this is literally why I have to, like, watch, why I go down my street and I think, I'm like, yeah, you can't, I'm sorry, you can't go over there by yourself.
You don't want that sign one day where all of a sudden your kid is, like, cutting themselves and you're like, why the fuck are you cutting yourself? And it's like they won't tell you, and you're like, okay, do I have to get this fucking fact out of my kid that has already been fucked up? It's great. It's great.
So,
you know?
So Dudley is now part of it. Next we see a young boy. This part is fucking hard. We see a young boy leaving Mr. Horton's back office from his bicycle shop, and it's this young little blonde boy, and he says this.
Better not tell you folks I gave you all that candy. As a matter of fact, why don't you just make it our little secret that you was even here? Huh? Attaboy.
Man, that's so funny. God, what a good bit.
Don't put some music on there. It's like,
so
the raping will soon commence.
So next we see Arnold enters the shop.
Now, I would assume with the kid entering, at least he's not, like, crying and bawling or, like, mm-mm, you know, at least he's just setting the trap again for another child.
Yeah. Ooh, let's just reset up the spider web over here.
Don't tell your parents that I gave you $100.
Oh, God, it's so fucking bad. So Arnold then...
Poor Arnold and Ducky are freaking working for their molestation so they can get a radio for their bike.
So Arnold enters, and things keep getting creepier.
Well, I gave out all the flyers, just like you said, and I'm back for another load.
That is great, Arnold. You're sure some terrific passer out it.
I have a way with words when I put my mouth to it.
Put your mouth to something else, dude.
Oh, God, dude.
And anybody that knows the history of John Wayne Gacy is that, of course, he'd have these young men come to his house. And, of course, they're not gay. They're just normal kids. And, of course, I'm gonna get them into my world. I'm going to show them some stag films. You know, we'll play a little pool, we'll have a little beer.
Well, we'll get into that. That's part of the grooming process that we're going to get into in a little bit and the more cringy stuff. But here's some more really funny things that happened in the episode here.
I can see it now. Hundreds of kids stampeding into my shop. They're buying everything in sight. They're buying the bicycles. They're buying the posters. They can't stop buying. Now they're buying my clothes. They're buying my socks. They're buying my shirt. They're buying my pants.
You better buy a barrel before they buy your underwear.
Oh, God, dude. It's just so many cringy moments. I got another... I have another 20 seconds of this clip to play that it
Arnold just delivers that funny line during these scenes and you have to laugh.
God, it's just every to my core, it's just everything like God, no. Anyway, here's more of this charming child molester here.
You know, this calls for a celebration. What's your favorite ice cream? Chocolate, vanilla, strawberry?
Yeah, them.
This sounds like a job for Captain Banana Split.
That's my kind of captain, the split.
Follow me.
So he takes him back into the back room, which is actually not just an office, but it's a full apartment that Mr. Horton lives in. There's a bed, there's a jukebox, there's an arcade machine, magazines, all types of fun. Basically a kid's wonderland back there. And Arnold tells him about Dudley wanting in on some of this action, and we get another fucking... This is probably one of the most bothersome clips that you can hear.
You know what would have made this scene, and any scene in this, much better? Every time that Horton makes a joke like, ha-ha, I love being with kids, just wink at the camera,
God, it's so fucking bad, dude. Anyway, all right, here's this marathon... This marathon of cringy material. Here's clip number 8, and I remember almost throwing up in my mouth on this one. This one just, there was something about this one that I was just like, God, dude, the people that are molesting Todd Bridges probably had something to do with writing this one.
I better eat it before it melts.
No, don't worry. The way I eat it, it won't have a chance to melt. My tongue's faster than a hummingbird's wings.
God damn it, man.
I gotta give it away that the part that disturbed me more than anything is the part where he tells Ducky to take his shirt off.
It's Dudley. We're getting to that. We'll get to that. Stop. Don't blow the lid off of this yet. And so,
the hummingbird's wings. Have a spoon. Well, no, but if he's going to, maybe you could slip by after school and I could let you ride it.
Oh, wow, Mr. Horton, what a terrific thing to do. You sure understand kids. And you sure know how to pig out. I really like you.
I like you too, Arnold. You know, there's just one thing, though. Maybe we better not let your dad know about the bike.
Why not? I tell Dad everything.
Oh, well, that's great. I mean, that's exactly what you should do. But in this case, it just might spoil his fun. See, if he found out that you had it before he had a chance to give it to you. Not to mention that I could get in trouble, too, you know, for letting you have it.
Oh, I never thought of that. Mm. I wouldn't want to get you in trouble. Mm.
In fact, maybe it would be best if you didn't even mention, you know, that you came back here and I gave you all this ice cream before dinner. Why don't we just make it our little secret, huh?
You know something, Mr. Horton? You're sneaky.
Sneaky?
Yeah. I'm getting a whole new respect for Sneaky.
Oh, this glorious pedophile. I got a whole new respect for you, Mr. Horton. Oh, God, that's so bad. I'm sorry, there's one more cringy moment to bite down on and listen to.
You know, I'd like to think that, you know, black kids actually have more of like a big giant siren that goes over on in their head when white pedophiles are like just ready to sink their teeth in.
Yeah, you know, just ready it's to fucking bad, rape. Dude. It's fucking bad.
And maybe because he didn't have Todd Bridges here, like, yo, get the fuck out of here, man. You get fucking raped. Get the fuck out of here. You know, and poor fucking Arnold, maybe he just seems like the dumbest fucking kid in the world. Like, the signs aren't like a fucking neon sign 100 feet tall, you know?
All right. Well, here's a little bit more of creepy Mr. Horton.
You know something, Arnold? I really like you. I really like you. You and I are going to have a lot of good times together.
Oh, God.
I'm sure you are. All right. I'm going to need to take a big old swig of beer here after that one. A little bit of a palate. Could use... I think every time that we have to do something like that, we just need to hear a little bit of something pure and just... Okay.
Take a breath. Take a breath and just Wang Chung.
Listen, when the pedophilia gets too strong, we're going to go back to Wang Chung. and just and we're gonna have a palate cleanser of pure good music of Wang Chung and having fun tonight.
And, and nobody speaks more about masculinity than Wang Chung.
Exactly.
And so certainly much manlier than Hall and Oates. So because they're British.
That's going to be our palate cleanser every time we have a moment here.
Or we could have another song that we could listen to about maybe Different Strokes. So.
So we're gonna power through the rest of episode one here. Mr. Horton, Arnold then comes home after this situation, and he says he was at the pet shop. Then he says he was getting pretzels and covers for Mr. Horton, ultimately. Dudley then comes over, and Dad leaves them alone to chat amongst themselves.
What did you shush me for?
I didn't want Dad to know that I was down at the bicycle shop today.
Why not?
Because Mr. Horton and I loaded up on banana splits. I had bananas coming out of my ears.
Sounds like he's as big a greedy gut as you, Arnold.
Yeah, but he sure knows how to treat a kid. He's got this back room with toys and trains and video games.
And dildos.
Yeah, I mean, it's like he just died and went to that big Disneyland in the sky.
He even has an entire Ferris wheel and a monkey.
And a monkey. And he also does that song Bad. Did you know that?
And he gives you Jesus juice.
Not yet.
He's like the most awesome person. And he'll let you sleep in his bed.
So next, we see Arnold and Dudley head back over to the bicycle shop.
He says if he tells your parents, you're going to get millions of dollars.
Oh, God.
So next, he says it's love.
Oh, man. So next, we see Arnold and Dudley head over to his place. He puts a nudie mag, a pornographic magazine, and hides it in the stack of regular magazines for the kids to find. He turns on his old pedophile charm. It's lots more cringy jokes of I don't want to play all the clips of how they glorify. It's important to notice that they really try to glorify him as a pedophile in this, like, you know, and just show him how, oh, look, he just makes all these funny jokes.
You know, I probably think that, you know, people like Horton are kind of like that until they get that deadpan face, like they're gonna really rape the fuck out of you before they, and then there's no smiling or floor charm anymore.
God, yeah,
it's like, hey, after the sixth beer, Mr. Horton didn't smile. He just gave me that look like he was going to rape me. So
Horton tells them to go ahead and look at the magazines on the table, and he leaves the room. And Arnold and Dudley take a look at some things they probably haven't seen before.
The ladies are naked.
Oh, kids looking at pornography. Oh, man, that's so funny.
Bring on the
that's
laugh
so
track.
Funny.
Except for the leather boots. Holy smoke. Speaking of smoke, there's something coming out of your ears. Boy, they ought to give you a diagram with these things. Say, look at this. Cuties of the circus. Hey, this guy must be afraid of that girl. He's holding her off with a whipping chair. Hey, look at that circus girl. Now I know why they call it the big top.
Oh, man. Ooh, nothing like showing children pornography.
Can we go back to the Wang Chung? Please,
all right,
go back
one
to
back.
The Wang
all right,
Chung.
Right, here we go. Back to Wang Chung.
Just let yourself be okay. Deep breath. Deep
breath. Woo!
You know, what,
I'm feeling better now. I'm feeling a lot better.
You know what would be a better song than the Wang Chung? The song Talk Talk by the band Talk Talk.
Talk Talk by Talk Talk?
Yeah, but either way.
All right, listen, we have a whole nother episode to go through here.
Oh, gosh.
So Next, I guess we're going to end this episode with this. I know it's going to be a cliffhanger. We're going to have two parts of this fucking horrible story. But here is... I'm just going to play this clip, Jeremy. If you need me to pause it at any time, just give me the signal, and we can talk about what's happening.
Can I just...
But get ready for about 5 minutes of cringe. That's what I labeled this. It's called 5 minutes of cringe.
Can I just give it 1 minute of cussing and just disgust?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, if you need it. Right. We can have Jeremy's cuss quarter if we need to. All right, let's hear where Mr. Horton takes it from here. Keep in mind, this is a prime time. TV, yes. You know, this is you and your family gathered around to watch
here. Gotta have that laugh track over every single joke.
So here it goes.
I think I see what's going on here. Oh, you guys were looking at this, huh?
No, we weren't. Well, Arnold was. you were the one with the dangling eyeballs.
Guys, there's nothing to feel guilty about. It's okay. There is nothing wrong with looking at ladies. There's nothing wrong with being naked, especially if you have nothing to be ashamed of. Haven't your folks ever taken you to a museum? You know, most of the famous statues are naked.
Yeah, but at least they had fig leaves. The one in the magazine didn't even have a piece of parsley.
Oh, man, God. All right, I'm going to keep going.
As soon as the man says there's nothing wrong with being naked... These two kids just needed to just run the fuck out of there.
God, I know. Like, this is fucking horrible.
Like if that isn't a sign, just kill your kids now, because they're just going to be raped so fucking badly by so many people in life.
I mean, this is fucking cringy. All right, here we go. More of this clip.
The point is, Arnold, that there's a good reason for looking at the human body and admiring it. It's a work of art. It's a magnificent thing.
That one in a magazine sure was.
Hey, you see, Dudley understands. Here, fellas, here's a little pepperoni pizza. Now, this is hot stuff, too. You know, guys, you can just have an awful lot of fun with your clothes off. Unless, of course, you live at the North Pole, and going to freeze your tush off.
God, the laugh track, right? Listen, every time they make him not try to seem like a monster, it's so much fucking worse. It's just, every time he's like, we can have a lot of fun with our clothes off, unless you're at the North Pole.
Can you play the same clip over, but just put Leonard's theme over the entire fucking clip? My gosh.
What kind of fun?
Well, for instance, there's skinny dipping. Either you guys ever go skinny dipping?
Nah, I never done that. Me neither. Unless you want to count the time when the fire hydrant blew my pants off. Is skinny dipping fun?
Fun? Listen, guys, if you have not gone skinny dipping, you have missed one of the great joys in this life. I think I got some pictures around here of a bunch of us skinny dipping. You guys are going to love them. Let's see if I can find them.
Honestly, with the Leonard, honestly, the Leonard soundtrack gives it a really good ominous feel that it needs. It makes me feel a lot more comfortable now.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to continue on with the Leonard theme playing
as we go in descent into hell.
Here we are, right here. Here we are down at the old waterhole.
Hey. You don't have any clothes on either.
Gonna let them kids have all the fun, do you? Look, everybody's laughing and horsing around, having a good time. See, we had a great, great old time that day.
Looks like fun to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I'd like the idea of running around and everybody staring at my bare butt. It lacks a certain dignity.
Well, if you ask me, there are too many uptight, dignified people in the world today anyway. It's time we all let our head down a little bit.
In that case, you let everything down.
God.
You know that piece of...
God, no! 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 No!
No. In fact, I would love to just stare at your genitals for minutes on end.
God, this is...
While I touch myself.
I didn't know how bad this episode was going to be, but man, it's fucking... God.
I would love to watch your bare bottom.
All right.
Tastes a whole lot better with a glass of wine. You guys care for sips?
Here it comes.
No, thanks. We're too young.
Too young? Did you realize that in France, everybody drinks wine, including kids much younger than you?
Yeah, Arnold, don't you know anything?
Sometimes they even get married when they're 8 years old.
Me?
I don't like that, like, how Dudley's really trying to facilitate this kid fucking. Like, Dudley is on board with this whole game right now.
Quentin is just the best.
Hey, sometimes kids are just different, Arnold. Ugh, God, all right.
Oh, yeah, right. As a matter of fact, my dad lets me have a little sip on special occasions.
Well, guys, this is a special occasion. We're in the bicycle business together. So let's celebrate. Huh?
Sure, I have some.
Here.
Come on, Arnold. Don't act like a premature kid. Okay, I'll have just a sip. I hate to see my friends drink alone.
No, that's all right, gentlemen. To our new partnership.
Down the hatch.
Then there's that full 5 minutes of both of them crying and screaming as one's getting raped at each of the time.
It certainly warms your tummy on a cold, rainy day like today.
It's bad,
huh?
Dude.
You know, we ought to be playing some games. I know a neat game with the camera. You guys like to take pictures?
No!
God! All right, I'm sorry. All right, I gotta go back to Wang Chung for a minute.
Want
to
play another game? It's called See the Hat Jump.
Oh, God. All right. Okay. All right.
You know, this kind of makes Eraserhead seem like a pleasant, normal film, you know?
All right, I just needed a little bit of Wang Chung there. I needed some Wang Chung.
There's like a little sperm child that gets crushed under a woman's feet.
That is
so much more happy than this.
This is, listen, we'll get into how all of this ends, but business is about to get even fucking worse.
Look, there's Laura Palmer's body in all that plastic.
Honestly, I'm more comfortable with the murder than what's happening right now. I'm more comfortable with murder than that.
Here's my trusty camera right here. Okay, here we go.
What kind of picture should we take?
Well, I got a great idea.
The kind that I like to masturbate to.
Oh, you know, the kind that I sell all my friends and stuff like that, you know? At the 8mm store.
Online, I'm friends with Pete Townsend.
Yes. Yeah, you know the kind that the King of Pop would like. That's the kind.
Terrific, Tarzan Dudley.
Ain't no way I'm gonna play Jane.
All right, we'll make you the fearless leader of the safari. Here you go.
Hey, all right. Just call me Bawana.
Okay, Bawana. Why don't you stand over there in front of that man-eating plant there, huh?
All right.
And you pretend that Dudley here is saving you from it. You can do that, can't you, Arnold? Mm-hmm. Okay, stay right there. Now pretend like it's got you in its clutches. Tarzan never had a shirt on, Dudley. Dudley, take your shirt off.
Okay.
Now, let me help you with that, man. That's nice.
No.
He's got a great physique, huh?
I think he's built more like a pipe cleaner than Tarzan.
Okay, now, tell you what, let's show those muscles, Dudley. That's good. Fine. Now we're going to take some pictures and we're going to have another little sip of wine and we're going to take some more pictures. And, give me a strike a pose for me there. Yeah?
Until you're so drunk.
Hey, that's great.
Defenseless
guys.
Against me.
Guys, we're just going to have a great time together this afternoon. Huh? All right, let's see those poses some more. That's the way to go.
Why is the audience clapping? Why?
And that.
Why are they clapping? Because the scene is over, so we don't have to endure anymore? Why?
Oh,
my gosh.
And that is the end of cringy episode one.
Oh, my gosh.
Of Different Strokes, The Bicycle Man. And, man, when I tell you, guys, give yourselves a pat on the back if you made it this far, because it is... God, give yourself... You know what? What I want everybody to do, if you made it through this horrible situation that we just listened to, is just have some fun tonight, okay?
And you know what helps is to watch a feel-good movie after this, like The Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, you know, I like to go out, you know, usually when I try to raise my mood after watching it, I like to sit down and watch, you know, the extended cut of Schindler's List that usually gets me, it usually gets me in a happier mood than, you know, the bummer that is The Bicycle Man. Sometimes I just need to raise my spirits a little bit.
And maybe watch the end of Platoon.
Yeah. Yeah, I usually watch The Accused right after this so I can just feel a little bit less dirty about myself.
And nothing makes me feel better than watching Casualties of War.
Yeah.
Every time that poor little girl cries after being raped, raises my spirits. How America's a great place and love for everyone. So, oh, gosh.
Yeah, we got to meet our monster, Mr. Horton. I will... If I could give some credit where credit is actually due, they could not have picked a better looking pedophile for this role because he 100% embodies a full fucking monster.
If I had chosen the casting for Mr. Horton, I'd choose like a really quiet person with that one lazy eye that is always in one direction.
Yeah, I'm into it. It's fucking bad, dude.
Oh, gosh.
But it's important for as fucking horrible as this whole thing is and how absolutely tasteless it was for them to make it with a laugh track.
And clapping.
And clapping. I will say that this really does illustrate something that pedophiles do. I mean, pedophiles do this thing where they try to make you implicit. They make you like, oh, I have exposed you to this. I know your thing is now you've seen a nudie mag. Well, now then we're all in this together now. Take off your clothes. Let's see some fucking shit, right? Because now he has a reason for them to lie, right? It's to protect. They don't want their parents to know that they've seen this, right?
The one thing that they really missed in the show is that these boys are so implicit, you never get to the threat, and it's like, what's the matter? I gave you a free bicycle. You're gonna take your shirt off now.
Yeah.
It's like, let's show the fucking monster, freak, bastard, scumbag that he truly fucking is.
Yeah. This is a real method that these monsters use, is this type of grooming where you make them complicit in a lie, and then they feel, as a child, you feel like you have as much to lose as he does,
Hey, Arnold.
And it's fucking bad.
Hey,
dude.
Arnold, I know a little trick. You want to see me do an impression? It's called the fish. I can, and when I go down on you, it's like I'm pretending like I'm a fish, and you can put it in my mouth. Oh, I'm Horton. God, kill me. Kill me now.
So that brings us to an end of our cringy episode one. I can't believe we're doing a two-parter on this, but...
It can get worse.
I didn't think we were going to be able to do the two episodes, but it's fucking painful.
Welcome to the world of NAMBLA.
Yeah. You can catch all things Eric Comedy, if you can laugh after this, at ericcomedy.com. I got all the shows and all the shit up there, so come check me out. Me and Mike Quinlan have started a room down in Old Ellicott City. The next show is on July 20th, I believe. It's a third Thursday. All the deets are up on like my Facebook and shit, so check that out. Jeremy, take us out.
Hey, why don't you take your shirt off? Now I've seen the filthy side of Bicycle Man.